In today's gospel, Christ begins his public ministry and calls his first disciples. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting nets in the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone.
Doug.
Our first reading is from the prophet Isaiah, and it's from about the 8th century BC. I think it's helpful to provide a little historical context regarding the reading. About a century before Isaiah, Assyrian warriors invaded the northern kingdom of Israel, placed all the people in Israel in exile, and subjected others to great oppression. One of the areas hit hardest was Zebulun and Naphtali, a land west of the Jordan, seen as a district of the Gentiles, where the Sea of Galilee is located. It is the farthest part of Israel from its center, Jerusalem, and it is seen as the darkest place in Israel. Why is that important? Well, as you all know, Galilee is where Jesus came from. But then we hear something really interesting from Isaiah. He foresees a prophecy from this land of gloom. A light will come. He says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone." This is a very specific reference that Israelites at the time would know exactly what he's talking about. We now see in the gospel that St. Matthew, who would be well-versed in Hebrew scripture and history, applies this somewhat obscure passage from 800 years earlier from Isaiah to the emergence of Jesus as a public figure now. Why would he do this? Because coming out of Nazareth, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, is Jesus. He is from the northern reaches of Israel, for which many centuries after that Assyrian invasion was regarded with a great deal of suspicion by those in the south, especially those in Jerusalem. Notice how Matthew quotes Isaiah referring to it as the Galilee of the Gentiles, and that's because it was invaded by Gentile forces, and many of them remained there. Galilee was kind of a blended territory with both Jews and Gentiles and was not thought of very well by the south. If we remember in John 1, 45 to 46, we hear Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one whom Moses wrote the law and also the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." What does Nathanael say? "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" That's why Nathanael said this. It was a questionable place, a place of gloom associated with oppression. Well, if you're all still awake, you're probably wondering, thanks for the history lesson, but what's the point? I think the point that Matthew is saying, and why he's echoing Isaiah, is that out of this dark, oppressed, and suspicious place, the light has come. We've heard this time and time again in the Bible, that God brings the best precisely out of the worst, the most wonderful from the least expected places. Just think about it for a few minutes. Abraham and Sarah, they cannot have children. He's 100 years old. She's 90. But then, precisely from them comes the child of promise, Isaac, and then Jacob, and the whole genealogical line of Jesus. Moses wandered in exile in the desert, could not really have the capacity to speak well, and yet he is the liberator of the Israelites. Peter, James, and John, simple fishermen, and yet they're the cornerstone of the church. Paul, who ruthlessly persecuted the early Christians, became the apostle of the Gentiles. And summing it all up, a crucified criminal hanging helplessly on the cross, slowly being tortured. He is the Son of God. This is God's way. His light tends to come from darkness. Grace tends to break through in the most unexpected places, in the most unexpected ways. Jesus continues to pick little backward places like Lourdes and Fatima to send his mother Mary to appear. In poor places like Africa and Latin America, he sends his Spirit to give new vigor to the church. He goes to the lowest places to give himself and his life to those who need it the most. Now, the world has always taught us and continues to teach us a different lesson. In fact, the opposite lesson of what God tells us. Today, we continue to hear in our culture, in advertising, music, movies, etc., that success builds on success. Those who drive the hardest get the most. The people who are good-looking, successful, cool, and have the most likes are the ones we should look at as successful. We should failure, suffering, pain should be rejected at all cost. Weakness, vulnerability, and growing old is looked poorly by today's world. This is the culture of me-ology, where human wisdom exalts self over God. However, that is not theology. The theology of our saints and mystics has always emphasized the centrality of the cross in both knowing and loving God. The deepest experience of God comes precisely through the suffering and failure that we all have, through the places of darkness and gloom. The world is a dark and dangerous place, and yet the Messiah appears in these dark places. He comes to us and stands with us in the muck and mire of our human condition, and he brings us his good news. So here's the question, friends, for all of us. What is the Zebulun and Naphtali in your life right now? What right now is a place of darkness and gloom? The place right now in your life where there's oppression and hardship? I'm not sure what it is. I'm sure it's different for all of us. It might be a physical illness, a psychological suffering, a specific worry you have about your kids. Maybe it's the loss of a job or the loss of a loved one that you really can't get over. Maybe it's a profound failure or a persistent sin. Please understand that I'm not asking you to glorify this situation or to wallow in it. What I'm asking is for you to see whether this darkness and gloom might be the very place where the light will dawn. What today is God working on precisely where you feel most vulnerable, most alone, most lost, and most in need? For in our weakness, God's power reaches perfection. In the light that comes out of the darkness comes God's unconditional and infinite love for you and for me. Remember in John 8, Jesus tells us, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Friends, please never forget that he is our light, our source of truth, and the source of all joy. Pray to God and watch for his light to come in the darkness that you face today. May God bless you.